to start with Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 26.
And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which, Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. And if thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
Now this story is given in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 26, Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 27, Luke chapter 18, verses 18 to 27. Now this story is about the rich man. But in the beginning, if you read Matthew, Mark, or Luke, never they say about this man was rich. And different gospel says a little bit differently about this person. Matthew says, there was a one man, he comes to Jesus Christ, and he says, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit the eternal life? Now this young man, just think about him. The Bible says he's a young, and he's a rich, and he's a ruler. If you read in the book of Luke, it says the ruler came and asked him. Now it's a rich man, he's a ruler, and he's a young man. From that you know, this young man has to be smart. This young man maybe got a treasure from his family, we don't know. But he is very rich, and he's a ruler. It doesn't say he's a ruler of synagogue or real ruler of what. But I believe he might have big company, and he is his own boss, and maybe hundreds and thousands of people working under him, so he's ruling those people. He's a very rich man and young man. So now this young and rich man comes to Jesus Christ. In Matthew, he says certain man came to him. But if you read Mark 10:17,
And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?
Now see, Matthew doesn't say this, Luke doesn't say this, but the Mark says there was a certain man. One man came running. Not only came running, but he came and knelt down and maybe worshiped Jesus Christ, and then saying, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit the eternal life? Now, Matthew and Luke doesn't say that. This is very important. Look at this young man. He's a ruler. He's a very in high position. Everybody might be respecting him. Nobody thought that this man can come running. I don't know how far he was running. Where Jesus was, we don't know. But he came running, found a place. Maybe when he coming, everybody gave him room because he's a rich and a ruler. And so he had the room to go, coming and falling down on Jesus' feet and kneeling down and worshiping Jesus Christ And then he's saying, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit the eternal life? Now, looking at this picture, anyone would say, look at this humble, rich man. He's a big ruler, but he humbled himself. And he's asking Jesus Christ, what should I do? But Matthew said, he said, what good thing I should do? That means even the Mark and Luke say, what should I do? But the Matthew said, what good thing I should do? That means he was thinking, I'm doing so many good things. I'm doing so many businesses. Let me ask Jesus Christ, I want to have eternal life. What do you suggest me to do good? So he said, first of all, he said, you are a good master. Jesus Christ is thinking, why are you calling me good? There is none good. Only God is good. So what Jesus Christ is saying, did you recognize me that I'm a God? And that's why you are falling on your knee and worshiping me? Mm-hmm. Are you doing it from your heart? Or are you doing this for show? Are you really, really recognize that I am a God and I'm a good master and you want to listen to the master and you are so humble and you are kneeling down and worshiping me? Jesus Christ is God. He knew the heart of this man. You can show other people how much you are humble, how much you are a good person. You might be giving money to charity. You might be doing so many good things. I see some people, sometimes they go to church. They might have three-piece suit, beautiful golden Bible, and put the hundreds and thousands of dollars in a offering. And they might be have a chance to be treasurer in the church. I heard other day one man came to me. He said, Pastor Peter, certain church, I'm the one who helped them to get the church. I'm a real estate man. And do you know their treasurer who is? I said, I don't know. He said, that treasurer I know. He is a heavy drinker. He drinks. He does all kinds of evil things. And I don't know why those pastors gave him a treasurer. I said, maybe he's giving a lot of money. But the point I'm making, other people look at the people's giving. They dress their coat and they come to church very humbly. Do you know if somebody does the murder or killer and they go for a judgment and they're sitting in front of the judge, you have to see. They might be having three-piece suit and beautiful clothes and very humbly. They will not look at an angry or face or anything. Look down and very humble. And if that person is young, other people will say, I don't think this young man looks so humble, looks so nice. I don't think this person can do murder. But the people look outward appearance. Jesus Christ looks inside your heart. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what is in your heart. This rich man, young man, ruler, coming running, kneeling down, worshiping Jesus, and saying, what good thing I should do? Jesus Christ did not say, what good thing you are going to do? Do you read the Bible? The Word of God says, all your good works are like a filthy rags. Jesus simply said to him, Mark and Luke says, you know the commandment. But the Matthew just simply say, keep the commandment. That means, he says, you know the commandment and you are not keeping. Why don't you keep the commandment? And then you will have eternal life. Knowing the commandment is not enough. Did you read the Bible today? No, I didn't. Why didn't you read? Oh, I read the Bible a couple of times and then keep the Bible away. Do you know the Bible? No, I read it. I know the Bible. But they do not know the Word of God. Give them a paragraph to read. And after reading the paragraph, say, what that paragraph says. What that Bible says, oh, I didn't pay attention. Let me go and read it again. So the point I'm making, people can say, I know the commandments, but they do not know the commandments. People say, I heard the word of God, but hearing means what? Obeying. If you hear the word of God and you don't practice the word of God, that means you do not know the word of God or you did not hear the word of God. Now, this man comes to Jesus Christ and what good thing I should do? Jesus say, you know the commandment. Why don't you keep it? And then when you read in the Matthew, he says, let's read in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 18.
He saith unto him, which, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness.
Matthew start with the do not murder. Now all these commandments you will be seeing in a book of Exodus chapter 20 and starting from verse 13, but other commandments also given, honor your mother and father. So I was thinking, why Jesus Christ did not give other commandments? He said, you know the commandments. And then he said, which commandment I should know? He was thinking, if I do one commandment, I might go to heaven. Jesus started with the do not murder. And then he gave us all other commandments. Do not murder. Do not do adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear the false witness. All these commandments he gave, honor your mother and father. I was thinking, we know a lot of money. You are not afraid of anybody. You can kill anybody. You can murder anybody. And you can shut the mouth of the people giving money to judges and lawyers and other people and shut them out and you can get away. And these things are happening today. Many people do many bad things, but even though they are caught, they pay the money and they shut the mouth of people. So what happens, they claim innocent and they keep on doing wrong thing and nobody catches them. But what the Bible says, called Hebrews 9:27, it says that once to die, after that the judgment. So God is the righteous judge. He can judge the people. You can steal. You can do murder. You can do all kinds of bad things. And even though your government let you go, your police officer let you go, but God has already noted and put the seal on it. The word of God says even the any word, foul word you use, that will be recorded. So there is nothing hidden in the eyes of God. Everything open and naked to his eyes. You can fool many, but you cannot fool God. Now this man seems like he came to fool Jesus, trying to say good word. Sometimes somebody comes and says something good to you, then you don't know how to insult that person, or how to say bad to that person, or how to say no to that person. Now this man came to Jesus Christ, running, kneeling down, worshiping Jesus, saying, you're a good master. And what? Then he said, I want to go to heaven. I want eternal life. What good thing I do? The same way Pharisees and what good work we should do? Jesus Christ says, believe the Son of God. I came from heaven and I came for you to save you. Just believe the plan of salvation. That's the only good thing you can do. But this young man, Jesus didn't say that. It sounded like he's believing in Jesus Christ. It sounded like he's worshiping Jesus Christ. And he's humbling himself. Outwardly, people will say, why is Jesus Christ asking him this question? But Jesus knew his heart. He wanted to just impress Jesus Christ, saying, you're a good man, You are going to give me good judgment. You should know why I'm worshiping you. You should know that I humble myself. Now you should say, okay, you are a good man. You are a rich man. You are a good ruler. Go home. You will have eternal life because you just worship me. It doesn't work that way. God knows your heart. I see some people, you don't see it here, but in India there are certain festivals. People roar and walk in their stomach like a snake and roll and go to the mountain like that. There are a lot of bruises and a lot of pain. Some people you saw hitting with a chain in their back and bleeding. They're thinking, if I do this thing for the sake of God, God will be very pleased. God is not pleased because of you hurting yourself. God is not going to say to you, cry because you're hurting, and God is going to cry. God knows your heart, and God knows what you're doing to please other people. God is not pleased with your giving. God is not pleased with your prayer. God wants your heart. This man's heart was not right. He was maybe doing murder. He might be doing adultery. He might be doing all kinds of sin. That's the reason God gave him, Jesus Christ gave him specific words. He could not say, hey, how do you know that I did murder? Because rich people, as I said earlier, they can kill somebody and get away with it because of money. So we do not know if this young man did this or not. But Jesus Christ gave this commandment. Now, after giving this commandment, see what this man is saying. What he's saying, he says, I did everything from my childhood. I obeyed this commandment. You remember before that what he said? When God says, you know the commandments, keep the commandment. He said, which one? Then God gave him, okay, do not murder. Do not do adultery. Now he says, I kept those commandments from my childhood. Do you think a child goes and murders somebody? Do you think the baby is going and doing adultery somewhere? No. So now he's a young man. And now Jesus Christ is saying, you are a young man. You are doing adultery. You are killing people. You are not honest. You are not giving respect to your mother and father. And you are telling me, you did it from your childhood? Are you lying to me? But Jesus did not insult him because he was a ruler and people's eyes, he was a very great man. So Jesus Christ didn't say that you are lying, because even though he said, I did this from my childhood. If Jesus Christ would have said, you know what? Why God gave these commandments? To give these commandments to make them guilty. And not a single man is obeying the commandment. If the man was obeying the commandment, I didn't have to come. I didn't have to give my life for mankind. If the commandment can take you to heaven. But I just said keep the commandment because I wanted to know you broke the commandment. So, he said, I kept the commandment. What Jesus Christ said to him. Let's read in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 20.
And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.
He's not in Matthew, and not in Luke. But this is very important what Jesus Christ said. When this man says, Master, all these I have observed from my youth. Means I did everything from my youth. Now Jesus looking at him. Now, when somebody looks at you and you did something wrong, and person looks at you from their eyes, you will know. But Jesus Christ looked at him not angrily, but lovingly. When you see somebody's eyes and their eyes have love in their eyes, you can figure it out. When somebody looks at their eyes and their eyes is fiery eyes and very angry eyes, then you know that person is angry. Now, Jesus Christ was not angry at this man. Even though he disobeyed commandment, even though he was doing wrong, and he was lying to Jesus Christ, I did all this commandment. Jesus Christ said, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. That's very important. Even though you did something wrong, and we were going to go to hell, the Bible says we were yet sinners, and Jesus Christ died for us. God so loved the whole world, then he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ did not want this man to perish. Jesus Christ is going, was saying, God loved you, and I love you. I obeyed the commandment of my Father, that he told me to go and die for you. And so I am here, and I'm loving you, and I'm telling you to follow me. Matthew and Luke doesn't say what here Jesus Christ is saying. In Matthew, he says, you want to be perfect? Then go and sell everything. But in the Mark, he says, one thing you lackest. One thing. He said, what one thing I should do? Now he says, you want to do that one thing? You are lacking one thing. What you're lacking? He says, you are very rich. You have so much money. You have so much wealth. You never cared about poor. You did not think about heaven. You do not know that our treasure should be in heaven. All these things you missed. These are the things you are lacking. So if you want to be perfect, and if you want to obey what you're lacking, then I have the solution. Now, what Jesus Christ is saying, in all other, Matthew and Mark, they miss this, but Jesus Christ is saying, sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross and follow me. This is very hard for somebody to understand who lived a life in luxury, never took any burden on their head, never did any hard work. Mother and father gave them billions of dollars, and they started their businesses and made a lot of money. They would not know how much poor people suffer to make a daily wages. Some people, you have to see in India, some people, the ladies, carry the bricks on their head and work in the construction work. Cement, bricks, and work so hard. Those people, they know what the hard work is all about. Jesus Christ says in your life, you made a lot of money. You became a ruler. You are a young, rich man. And you said, what I'm lacking? And you want to be perfect? Or you want to obey one thing? Okay, I'll give you a simple thing. You're going after money? I'll give you treasure in heaven. And you're following money? Give up that money to poor. You never give money to poor. The poor people are working 8 hours, 12 hours a day, and you took their labor and you became a rich. You did not give a penny to poor people. You did not help them. Now it is your time. Sell everything and give it to the poor you did not care about. And then come to me. You will have treasure in heaven. Bible says, do not store your money on this earth because they will corrupt and thief will come and steal and everything will be finished. But if you keep your treasure in heaven, then your heart will be there. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. So keep your treasure in heaven. Now some people might be thinking, how can I put my treasure in heaven? The word of God says when you give it to the Lord, tithes and offerings, that is treasure you're giving to God and that is in heaven. So when you give it to the Lord, God will give it back to you 100-fold in return. God says, give me only 10%. I'll give you and keep 90%. Not only that, I'll open the heavenly windows and pour down the blessing. Now, this man didn't know anything about heaven. Here, we say on this earth, you buy a golden ring, put it on your hand, golden chain, put it on your neck, and a golden earrings and putting in your ears, and you think you are rich. But when you go to heaven, the streets are gold, and that gold is not the fake gold. That gold is pure gold like a transparent glass. And you will be walking on that golden streets. Each and every gate has the pearl. All the foundation of the buildings has all kinds of precious stones. Not one, but 12 different kinds of stones. And not one stone. Everywhere the foundation was. And everywhere gold and silver. And there are gold mines and silver mines and golden mountains. And all kinds of things are in heaven. You're storing on this earth. I'll give it to you in heaven. You'll have a lots of treasure. You would not know what to do with your money. You will be walking on money. You're walking on gold. This man didn't understand what Jesus Christ was saying. Then he said, and come, take up the cross and follow me. What Jesus Christ was saying. That time he did not see Jesus Christ hanging on the cross yet. But he saw the Roman people were crucifying people on the cross already. They have to carry their own cross and go to that mountain, and then they will be crucified and killed there. Jesus Christ said, you take up your cross and follow me. He thought, this is suffering. What Jesus Christ is telling me? I do not understand how to take the cross. I have take the heavy burden. I didn't take it in my life. The people work for me, construction work. They carry the heavy load. I just have to give the order. I don't want to carry this cross and follow Jesus Christ. I made a mistake. I came running. I came to worship him. He's telling me, sell everything and give it to the poor and then follow him, not ordinarily. Take my cross and follow. It's too hard. He didn't want to hear these things. And he went sorrowfully. Let's read the Mark chapter 10, verse 22.
And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions.
Now here we know he was rich. What he did, he started saying to his heart, I don't want to hear this. And he was very grieved. He was very sorry. Here we read, he was a very rich man. And he did not know. Your richness will not take you to heaven. Your wealth will not take you to heaven. Your good position will not take you to heaven. What the word of God is saying. God says, God can give you richness into this world. All the silver, all the gold, all the mountains, all the hills, whole world is belong to God. We came with the empty handed. We are going to go to empty handed. But God doesn't want us to be in this world poor, naked, wanting, and suffering. That's not the will of God. When you are under some pharaoh or under wrong government, they will take everything. They will make you slave. And they will not care like what Pharaoh did. Let these people work so hard, beating them and telling them to do harder and harder work. He thought nobody's watching. But God was watching. God killed every one of them, their firstborn son. And there was a cry in the city or country, and let these people go. The God always watches. God knows all the situation. Sometimes we say, why God made me poor? God does not make you poor. Bible says, thoughtful man, the lazy man, saying the lion is on the street. I don't want to go. I don't want to sow. I don't want to do anything. Those are the people became poor. But the people who work hard, they will never get poor. The word of God says God wants to give you wealth, give you power to be rich. Read Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18.
But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day.
God gives you power to get wealth. Sometimes people are working so hard and they make money and they put it in the pocket and there is a hole. They put it in a bucket, there is a hole. And they work, and nothing works. They earn the money, and sometimes thief comes and robs them. Here the word of God says, God gives power to make wealth. God supplies our need. David says, Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. That means he said, God has given me everything. I am not lacking in anything because God loves his people. God doesn't want you to be poor. God doesn't want you to be hungry. God doesn't want you to be naked. God doesn't want you to be sick. Our God is a healer. Our God is a provider. Our God is called El Shaddai, means all-sufficient God. Whatever you need, he gives to you. The word of God says in book of Romans chapter 8, he never spared his son. He gave his son for mankind to die on the cross of Calvary. Mm-hmm. If he gave his son to die for you, do you think it is hard for God to give you job or money or child or house? If he gave his son, then he can give you anything. There is nothing impossible with God. Only you have to ask and say, Lord, I'm hungry. Lord, I need clothes. Lord, I need this, I need that. You have to ask. Bible says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Pray, call upon me, and I will answer. Sometimes people said, we prayed and prayed and prayed and nothing happened. We asked, and nothing happened. Word of God says, our God is a not liar. He keeps his word. He says, two of you agree, touching anything, I will hear your prayer. Now this man running, falling on Jesus' feet and worshiping Jesus Christ, saying, Jesus, you're a good master. What was wrong with this man? His heart was not right with God. He was not rich about spiritual matter. He was rich in the worldly sense, but his heart was empty. He didn't have any love for God. He was not thinking about the kingdom of God. He simply said, I want to have eternal life. He did not know eternal life on earth or eternal life in heaven. Mm-hmm. Some people do not want to get out of this world. When they have money, they have good houses, and everything going down, they say, oh, Jesus Christ, please don't come. I'm enjoying my life. Let me live in here. This is good. And some people have made a theory. God is not going to destroy this world. You're going to live in this world for eternity. This is not a plan of God. God wants his people to go with him. God is in heaven, and we are going to go to heaven. But on earth, as long as you or me living in this earth, God is not going to make us naked. God is not going to let us hungry. There's a word of God in the same Deuteronomy, if you read, God says, I let you hunger and suffer so you could call upon me. When you're hungry and naked and having problems, just don't sit there and curse God, why this happened to me? Call upon God, and he will answer. Our God is a prayer-answering God. Someone said, if God doesn't answer prayer, who will worship that God? Our God is a prayer-answering God. Sometimes people said, you know, Jesus Christ prayed, and God did not answer, so you pray, and God sometimes say no. God will only sometimes say no if you're asking something to spend on your lust. But if you're asking for good things, he will never take any good things away from you. Our God is a good God. He knows what you have need. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, he said, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Our God is a rich God. Jesus Christ was in heaven. He gave up heaven. He became poor for you. He took your poverty on him. So with his poverty, we can be rich. Our God doesn't want us to suffer because he suffered for us. Our God doesn't want us to be sick because he took our penalty and sickness and disease on the cross. And the word of God says, with his stripes, we are healed. He wants us to be healthy, prosperous, and strong and healthy people on this earth. For what? So we can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The devil is trying to block all the ways. So you cannot preach. You cannot teach. Their churches are closed. Their people are killed here and there. And people are saying, where is God? Our God is a great God. As long as we are on this earth, we have to look at the heaven. Our eyes should not be on earth and earthly things, because our eyes should be on God. This man's eyes was on his riches and the respect people gave him and made him a big lord and big master and big leader and big ruler. He did not want to give up this position and follow Jesus Christ. The same way today, people are very busy. They don't have time for God. They don't have time to read the Bible. They don't have time to pray. Even though now they don't have to go to church. They don't have to go dress up and go to church. But still some people do not have time to sit on their secret place and go on their knees and pray. Very few people are doing. I'm not saying people are not doing. The people who are really born again, really craving for God to come, are really craving to go to heaven, those people will not be satisfied. There is a church or no church. They will be always praying and interceding for other people and trying to get some soul to get saved. Our job is to reach out and tell others. What St. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. We want to make many people to followers of Jesus Christ. Christian life is not easy. Christian life is as a suffering. People are suffering without Christ and then say, come and suffer with Christ. People are thinking, are you crazy? Jesus Christ is telling this man, pick up your cross and follow me. Why he should follow? He's happy and joyful. There are so many people, they're not following the cross. They're going to go to heaven. Why this man has to follow the cross? He did not tell all other people to do the same thing. God is very wise. God is telling him, you telling other people to carry burden, you telling other people what to do, you are the master, you are the ruler. Now, I am your master. I'm telling you, you want to go to heaven? Just pick up the cross and follow me. He didn't understand. The word of God said Jesus looked at him very lovingly. He saw the eyes of Jesus Christ. He saw that Jesus loves, telling him to come closer to me. Come follow me. But now he's drifting away. He wants to be sorrowfully. I don't know, he cried or he wept, but other people might have seen his face. His face might be turned blue, came with a very running, a red face, and a very excitingly way he came. But now he's going sorrowfully. See, the people are thinking the worldly treasure can make you happy. I'll tell you, if you have richness of this world, and if you know the Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, God gives power to make you wealth or get you wealth. That means God has given to you. Give glory to God. Give what God's portion is God. You will never be poor. You will never be lacking. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, if you read. First he said, give, and he will give it to you hundredfold. He will open the heavenly windows. And 11th verse, he said, I will fight for you. I will defeat your enemy. You don't need a watchman. You don't need a gun. You don't need a police officer. You don't need anybody to watch over you. You don't need a security guard. You don't need a security system. I am your security. When you love me and you follow me and you give it to me, I will send the angels to protect you. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, it says, once you are saved, once you belong to God, once you are a child of God, he sends angels for what? To minister to you, to serve you, to protect you, to guard you, and fight for you. So the enemy will not come and steal and destroy. Jesus Christ says, enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give you life and more abundant life. So once you are Jesus, you have abundant life. Once you are Jesus, you have security. Once you are Jesus, you don't have a sickness and disease. Somebody says, but I have pain, I have suffering. I said, Jesus says, look at my pain, look at my suffering. Then you will be not fainting in your mind. That is in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. You have to look at Jesus' suffering. If you make your suffering bigger, like a mountain, then you making God smaller. That means you doubting on God. When you have faith in God, you are going to magnify God bigger than your problem, and you will never go wrong. So here the word of God is saying, this man went sorrowfully. So let's go back and let's read in Mark chapter 10 and verse 23.
And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?
Now Jesus Christ looked around all about everywhere, especially looking at the disciples, and then telling these disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. So the disciples are looking at Jesus Christ. These disciples, some of them were rich. Peter John, Andrew, and James. They were all fishermen. They were all partners. Peter and Andrew, James and John. They had the fishing business. The Word of God says they have partnership. That means this was not a small family business. This was a great business like this man was doing. And now when Jesus called them, they left all the fishing business and followed Jesus Christ. And what happened? They followed him, lived with him 3.5 years, saw the miracles, didn't have any financial need because ladies were bringing money and food and clothing and everything. They didn't have any financial crisis or problem. Jesus died. 3 days later, Jesus came and showed that she is alive, but never lived in Peter's house or Thomas's house or anybody's house. And so they thought, now he's gone and we gave up fishing business. What's going to happen to us? Peter says, let's go. I'm going to go for fishing. This is after the resurrection. Peter goes for fishing. Whole night, could not find anything. Early in the morning, Jesus comes. Oh, children, do you have any food? They said, no. Worked hard whole night and we could not catch one fish. Jesus Christ said this time, put it on the right side. You are going wrong. First time I called you, that time I told you put it in a deep. And I gave you the deep teaching of heavenly kingdom. But you forgot all about. Now do it right. They put it in right. Got the lot of fish. But the point I'm making, when they came to the shore, there was a food cooking. Mm-hmm. The bread and a fish. And everything for the breakfast ready. What Jesus Christ was teaching them. Whole night. You could not catch one fish. Here. You have the cooked fish. And the hot bread and everything ready. Come and eat. What message Jesus Christ was saying. Peter. Do you love me more than this fishing business? And he asked him 3 times. The point I'm making, Jesus Christ was telling his disciples, he says he looked around and looked at the disciples and he told his disciples, you know, it's very difficult to reach man to enter in the kingdom of God. Thank God that I called you. You were doing the business. You were getting rich. You gave up everything. And then you went back to the fishing business. Then I called you back again. What I'm trying to say, Jesus is saying, if you would have gone back to the fishing business, you would have missed the kingdom of God. So if you want to be rich in this world, you are going to lose the kingdom of God. Then some people thinking, does that mean God says one time, I want to give you power to get wealth, and then he said, if you get wealth, you're going to go to hell? No. You have to remember who gave you the wealth. You have to remember to give tithes and offerings. You have to remember to take care of the poor and needy. Take care of the household of faith. Then you will never going to lose your business. If you're doing the business, you have to have a Christian partner. If you are doing anything for the Lord, God will prosper you. And I told you many times, in Philadelphia itself, J.C. Penney, John Wanamaker, and Hershey, they gave 90% to the Lord, and God blessed them. The point I'm making, Jesus Christ is telling his disciples, if anybody wants to be very rich on this earth, and is not rich in spiritually, he will never make it to the kingdom of God. Let's read the verse 24. Mark 10:24.
And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God?
Because they were surprised when Jesus Christ is saying this. Then he's saying, Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. What he's trying to say, if you trust in riches, if you believe in your riches, you believe in this world, you believe in the treasures of this world, then you cannot look at God. Our God is in heaven. You have to know one day we are going to go to heaven. Mm-hmm. As I said earlier, we came with an empty handed. We are going to go with an empty handed. So the point I'm making, whatever you earn in this world is going to stay in this world. You are going to go to empty handed. And then what the word of God says, 1 Timothy chapter 6, it says, love of money is root of all evil. If you love the money and if you follow the money, money runs from you. You keep on going and giving more and more and more and more and more. I told you several times the story. One man said, I have a big land. You run, you are a good runner. Each land goes under your feet, that will be yours. He's running, 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 very tired, going to faint, but he says, one more foot, and he took all the land under his feet, fell down, and died and got a heart attack. Tell me how much land he got. Zero. So in this world, you're running for the land, running for the money, and you will die, and you will not get anything. But the Bible says, if you're a righteous man, your children will not beg for bread, and your grandchildren will not break for bread, and you will be keeping wealth for them. Young lion will go hungry, but the children of God will never go hungry. Don't worry. Sometimes people will be scaring you. Oh, some problem is coming. Store the food, store this, store the water. Don't worry. The Bible says, God gives to even the birds, but God knows everyone, and he knows your desire. Important thing is God is teaching them, you have to humble yourself to go to the kingdom of God. In this world, we did not bring anything. Out of this world, we cannot take anything. We have to love the Lord and follow the Lord. Back to the Mark chapter 10, verse 25.
It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God.
Now, this verse people read and say, Jesus Christ is saying something. It will never happen. It is easy for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. Somebody says, can any camel can go through the eye of needle? What Jesus Christ is saying? Now, only people who live in Israel, those people will know what Jesus Christ is saying. People used to go for business, and they have the big gates. So what they do, certain time, when the evening time, they close the gate. And inside the gate, there will be a small gate. Only people can go through that. Camel comes, and now they cannot go to this big gate. So what they do, they unload the camel, everything, put it on the floor, and then the camel put his head first, and slowly he goes bending down on his knees and go through that hole. And that hole's name was a needle hole. So he was trying to tell, you know how the camel goes through that small door, that needle door. That's the way he's saying the camel goes through that needle hole, but the rich man cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What he's trying to say, the man has to make himself humble like this camel, but they don't want to do that. They want to be proud like this man. He said, hey, I'm not going selling everything and following him. He's telling something, I earned this for my life. He said, look at the camel. He humbles himself. He goes on his knees. He's not saying, I'm tall, I'm going to jump the fence. He humbled himself, go on his knees, and then come out. I heard, even though there is a fence or anything, but if you can push your head out of that thing, your whole body can go. You can squeeze your body if your head is goes. You can squeeze in and out. Our body is able to squeeze. Your head has to be go first. So the point I'm making, God says on the small little gate, that's a needle gate, camel goes through, but rich man cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That means the rich people do not want to humble themselves. They are very proud. The devil got the pride, and where is devil today? He is ready to go to eternal hellfire. The Bible says God has prepared the hell for devil and his followers. Devil is not going to repent. Devil is not going to humble himself. He is proud. So here it says, all the rich people, if they are not humble, if they are not humbling themselves, they will never make it to the kingdom of God. Then the disciple got some problem. They start thinking, there are many rich people in this world. What's going to happen? Let's read the verse 26.
And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved?
He's saying there are so many people in this world are rich. Do you think all the rich people are going to go to hell? No. I already told you, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. It says, love of money is the root of all evil. If you are loving the money and you hate God and you don't love God, then you are going to kill yourself, because so many rich people today, they are killing themselves because their business went wrong, or they have some kind of case going on, or somebody found out they did something horrible thing. They kill themselves. Sometimes money will not come to rescue. Then who will go to the kingdom of God? Who will get saved? And so here the word of God is saying, you thinking that it is impossible for any rich man to go to heaven? Look what God is saying. Read the verse 27.
And Jesus looketh upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible.
All the rich men will go to hell? No. He says, for man, it is impossible to go to heaven with the richness, but God can turn it around. Just think, there is a very rich man, and he is dying with a sickness and disease, or his child is dying with a sickness and disease. God can heal that person, and that person can turn around and start giving his wealth to God, and start serving the Lord. There was one rich man, the story is given, there was a very dignifying nobleman, and his son was dying. He said to Jesus, please come and lay hand on my son and save him. Jesus Christ said, adulterers and sinners looking for the miracle. How long you people are living in unbelief? Go thy way, your son is already well. And that man's son got healed, and the word of God said he and his household, they start believing in Jesus Christ. Now just think of that kind of man. He was wealthy, he was noble. Now when his son got healed, he is going to be serving the Lord with his wealth. So there are so many rich people today getting saved, getting healed, and they are using their talent, their money to the Lord.